Good afternoon. It's 52 degrees in Richland Center at 12:08. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. In late July, the Richland School District Board of Education submitted an offer to purchase property from Richland County, including the buildings known as the Gymnasium and Melville Hall, as well as the adjacent field, green spaces, and parking lots. This process began after several years of discussion about facility needs. During planning for the 2024 facilities referendum, the district had explored an option that included a new gymnasium and weight room at a cost of approximately $40 million. That option was ultimately scaled back because the existing gymnasium at the former UW-Richland campus sits just a few hundred feet from Richland Center High School. The ability to use that facility through the current Memorandum of Understanding with Richland County has been an important short-term solution to meet the need for additional gym space. Given the ongoing need for both gym space and alternative education facilities, the board approved an offer to purchase the property for $1. The purpose of the offer was to preserve this space for public educational use while relieving the county of maintenance obligations for two buildings it no longer needed. The decision by the school board was held in closed session. District Administrator Steve Board clarified why the district's discussions and actions occurred in closed session to the public at last night's school board meeting. He explained that when the board first considered this offer on July 28, 2025, there had been no direct negotiations or prior discussions with Richland County. Because of that, there was no way to anticipate how the county would react to the proposal. Discussing or voting publicly before the county had a chance to deliberate would have risked creating public pressure or the appearance of expectation. In addition, revealing an active offer publicly could have invited competing proposals from private entities or other organizations. That would have placed the county board in an extremely difficult position, having to choose between a private offer at market value and a public offer from the school district for a nominal amount. To avoid that kind of dilemma, both boards initially discussed the matter in closed session, as allowed under Wisconsin law for negotiations involving the purchase of or sale of property. Once the initial offer was submitted, county and district administrators communicated verbally about the timing and flow of internal county reviews. These included county board closed sessions on August 14th and committee reviews on August 20th and September 9th. To allow those discussions to take place, both parties agreed to extend the acceptance deadline. That extension was later confirmed in writing on September 25th, when the district formally extended the deadline to October 22nd. After receiving the district's offer, county officials asked for clarification and raised several points for consideration. Whether the district would assume ownership of the area south of Brush Creek, whether the district would allow the Simons Recreation Center sign, located south of the bridge and west of the entrance, to remain in place and connected to its existing power source, which is through Simons, whether the district would support construction of a future access road or private drive between Hive Drive and the Simons parking lot to be completed at county expense, and whether the district would agree to maintain continued cooperation with Simons Recreation Complex for shared use of the gymnasium. The school board reviewed these considerations during closed session on September 24th and generally agreed to each point, recognizing that they aligned with the spirit of partnership that has guided this process. The district will now draft a new MOU with Simons Recreation Complex that mirrors the current cooperative arrangement but updates ownership responsibilities. Coordinate surveying of the property to formalize parcel boundaries and easements at the district's expense, and incorporate county-requested access points and easements into the final property configuration. Steve Board reiterated that from the outset, the district's goal has been to pursue this opportunity in a respectful, collaborative manner with Richland County. The decision to negotiate initially in closed session was made not to limit transparency, but to protect both entities from premature public pressure or competing interest while good faith negotiations were underway. Now that the county has acted in open session, the district is sharing the full context of this process for public understanding. This purchase will preserve an important community asset for educational use, expand opportunities for student programs, and strengthen local partnerships while protecting taxpayers from additional costs. The Richland School Board approved the counteroffer and terms from Richland County for the purchase of property known as Gymnasium and Melville Hall, as well as the adjacent field, green spaces, and parking lots as presented, while developing an updated MOU between Simons Recreation Center and the Richland School District unanimously. The Richland School Board also approved its 2025-26 budget last night's meeting. It then approved to amend the resolution to vote a tax for the operation of the Richland School District for 2025-26 in the amount of $10.4 million, of which $183,445 is for debt within the revenue limit, $2,193,000 is for debt outside of the revenue limit, and $120,000 is for community service expenses. The board also ratified one open enrollment in application, which has already been granted approval by the district administrator, and one open enrollment out application for the 2025-26 school year. Southwest CAP's Head Start program is part of the 134 Head Start programs that will be directly affected by the government shutdown. While some educational and child service programs may have enough funds or reserves to sustain operations temporarily, Southwest CAP's preschool classrooms for ages 3 and 4 and the Early Head Start Home Visiting Program will be paused starting Monday until the shutdown ends. Southwest CAP will keep you updated as more is learned. A federal judge has ordered the Trump administration to return mental health services funding to Wisconsin schools. Attorney General Josh Call announced that Wisconsin will once again be getting $10 million in grant funding due to the ruling. Seattle U.S. District Court Judge Kimberly Evenson ruled that the Trump administration must release millions of dollars in grants intended to address the shortage of mental health workers in schools. Evenson determined the U.S. Department of Education caused irreparable harm when it decided in April to stop paying out grant funding that schools in 16 states had already budgeted for expanded services. That included efforts at UW-Madison to train 24 new school psychologists for high-need schools. Call calls the ruling a win for the well-being of Wisconsin students. Governor Tony Evers has announced that the Trump administration has denied Wisconsin's application for hazard mitigation grant program funding for Door, Grant, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties after severe storms and flooding caused severe damage to public infrastructure in August. This denial comes as last week Governor Evers announced that he will also be appealing a decision by the Trump administration to deny Wisconsin's application for public assistance to help address more than $26.5 million in damages to public infrastructure in the six counties impacted. In addition to appealing the public assistance denial, the governor will also be filing an appeal for the hazard mitigation denial to ensure Wisconsin communities receive the support they need to prevent this sort of destruction from happening again in the future. The state has 30 days to file a formal appeal, and the governor has directed Wisconsin Emergency Management to submit additional justification for the request for funding. The Hazard Mitigation Grant Program provides funding to help state and local governments implement projects aimed at reducing the risk and impacts of future disasters and is only made possible following a presidentially declared disaster. Mitigation programs, such as the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, have shown success in past flooding events. FEMA's decision to deny the hazard mitigation grants limits support for certain public infrastructure and community-level projects, but does not affect homeowners or renters who may qualify for federal assistance through the Individual Assistance Program. With no incumbent in the race for Wisconsin governor next year, Marquette Law School poll director Charles Franklin says the candidates remain largely unknown to Republican and Democratic primary voters.
Most folks haven't tuned in to either of these races, and the candidates, because of their non-incumbent status, all have a very long ways to go to develop name identification and develop feelings, either positive or negative, towards the candidates and their candidacy.
The latest statewide poll for 846 registered voters finds 70% of Republicans and 81% of Democrats haven't made a primary choice. Among likely Republican primary voters, Congressman Tom Tiffany is the best-known candidate, with 39% who recognize his name. Washington County Executive Josh Shulman is recognized by 17%, and Medical Service Technician Andy Mansky by 11%. Among likely Democratic primary voters, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley has 26% name recognition, followed by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez at 25%, State Representative Francesca Hong at 22%, State Senator Kelda Royce at 17%, and former Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation CEO Missy Hughes at 16%. In all cases, more than 60% of voters have no opinion of the candidates. The names of those involved in a crash last Friday afternoon on U.S. Highway 14 east of Richland Center, resulting in injuries and road closures, was released yesterday. The Richland County Sheriff's Department reports that at approximately 1:30 Friday afternoon, first responders were dispatched to a two-vehicle crash on U.S. Highway 14 near Premier Co-op. The investigation showed that a straight truck operated by Carmelo R. Hernandez of Milwaukee crashed into the rear of a semi that was hauling corn driven by Larry L. Sabronic of Lone Rock. Highway 14 was completely blocked and both drivers sustained injuries. Hernandez was trapped in his vehicle and had to be extricated by the Richland Center Fire Department and was transported by UW MedFlight. It's time for this week's Richland County History Moment with Richland County Historical Society President Ken Theed.
Oh, for some of that pumpkin butter. Early Richland County reminisces, written by J.T. Bardo about life in pioneer days. And now for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. Taken from WisconsinHistory.org, Records, Newspaper, BA11926. Here's how the article reads. We dug our potatoes, we gathered our pumpkins and cabbage. Mother and aunt made pumpkin butter. Oh, for some of that right now. Some of you know how it's made. Of course you do. The pumpkins were washed. They were cut up in chunks, put in kettles, and they're boiled until they're soft. Then we made a press of sticks. We put the pumpkin in and pressed it out with the juice coming out thoroughly. It was put then into a kettle, and these sweet pumpkins cut up in squares about 1 inch to thicken it to boil. It boiled down into butter. Then we could get to it. Spices and cloves were put in. Anyway, it was good to spread on boiled potatoes. And the reason being, we had no bread. I often thought how it would taste with fresh, warm, homemade bread. What is pumpkin butter, you ask? Pumpkin butter is a rich, sweet spread made primarily from pumpkin puree. It's blended with a sweetener like maple syrup or brown sugar. It's mixed with a liquid such as apple cider or juice. It includes spices like cinnamon, ginger, and nutmeg. And it sometimes has just a touch of lemon for brightness. The mixture is then simmered, it thickens, it results in a consistency familiar to a fruit butter. It is the season, now that we're at the end of October, to enjoy some pumpkin butter on potatoes and warm bread. Actually, in many ways you can use it. Listen next week for a history of Richland County covering Albert S. Rockwell, local photographer.
The Richland County Historical Society appreciates your support. It's been a great year with many new family, individual, and business members. Would you consider joining? For just $10 a year, individuals or families can be a member. Yearly memberships for businesses, just $20. A lifetime membership is available for just $100. Membership payments and donations can be sent to the Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, Apartment 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. The Society hopes you're enjoying these weekly history moments.
The third annual Bev's Walk will be held this weekend in Richland Center. Hillary Burns-Kite is an organizer of the event.
I'm excited that people have, you know, wanted to come out the last couple of years, and the past 2 years, I think Passages has been kind of the lead on organizing it, and with the thought that when we were ready as a family to kind of take that over, then that would be passed along to us. So I'm kind of the main person for that now, and so it's been a good process to be a part of, and just kind of fun gathering ideas and putting the thought behind it and working with other partners who worked with my mom, and just kind of remembering a way to remember her in the community and keep her name out there. And we're just really thankful for those who have shown interest and are still supporting.
You are invited to join others at the Earl Anderson Shelter in Crosscut Park and support the Grateful Scholarship in memory of Beverly Pittman Burns.
My mom worked for Passages for, I believe, 20 years or over 20 years, and was really, you know, passionate about and had a heart for that ministry, for that work. I think for her, it probably really was, you know, a vocation and a calling. It's a way that she lived out her faith and was a witness about her faith in that vocation. So there's a scholarship that was started in her memory, and that is being given out yearly to, as long as the funds are available, to a graduating high school senior from RCHS. And it's based on need, and with the preference of, so we're looking for those who are going into the field of social work or human services, public health, or education, to kind of encourage young people to say that this is really a field of need, and always will be, and encourage people who are thinking of going into that and wanting to help and support them in that endeavor.
Hillary says the walk will be as in the past years.
We'll still be at Crosscut Park. It's been at the shelter that is the closest to where the Rotary Lights path is, and we're feeling that that was sort of tucked back in there, and so we wanted to bring it out and have it more, a little more visible. And then it would also be at the shelter that's next to the tree that was planted in honor of my mom. They planted that tree in a spot where she often ate lunch. And so it's at the park that's just right before you go over the walking path to get to the Rotary Lights. So that park that you pass on the right with, I think people know it for the red play equipment, and it's right across from the pool and stuff there. The Earl Anderson Shelter.
A welcome is planned for 10 Saturday morning, with the walk beginning at 10:15.
Anyone who has gathered at that time will, you know, start on the route together, and we'll be taking the walking path through the park to go to end up at the old community center, and then we'll go up Seminary Street to the courthouse, and then there's that bench that was placed there with my mom's name on it. And then from there, we would head back to Crosscut Park. And when people arrive at the beginning of the event, or when we get back from the walk, from the main walk, people would be welcome to sign up for a shuttle that would take them out to the labyrinth that my family and friends have helped me to make in honor of my mom. And they could take kind of a more introspective, meditative time to walk on that labyrinth in small groups, and we would have shuttle vehicles available to help facilitate that for the second portion of the walk time, so from around 11:30 to 12:30.
Bev's walk will be held Saturday beginning at 10 at the Earl Anderson Park Shelter in Richland Center. Help support the Grateful Scholarship in honor of Beverly Pittman Burns. $5 of every $25 donation or more will also be given to Passages as they continue support for survivors of domestic and sexual assault.